Previously on The Adventure Zone. Aubrey, we see you and you're back in your childhood home several years ago. You are leaving it tomorrow. And then we see a car pull up just in front of your house with its lights off, with two figures silhouetted from within.
A friend of mine, he died last night, and there wasn't any foul play or anything suspected.
Looks like a bottle of Gatorade went behind the brake pedal, and so this really does look like an accident.
You all see a figure on the side of the road wearing a brown robe. It's got these two large bags. There is a payphone, and it starts to ring.
Go for duck.
In 3 minutes, your friend Leo Turkesian is going to die. He will be crushed to death, as will the two customers currently shopping in his store. You might want to do something about that. Voice on the other end of the phone hangs up, Duck, and a stiff breeze blows down Kepler's main drag, sending snow swirling around nearby buildings, the Pizza Hut, Dave's Dehumidifier Depot, and Leo's General Store, where he and his customers will apparently be crushed to death in a little under 3 minutes. What do you do?
How far away is it from here to there?
So you are speaking, or you're currently holding the receiver of a payphone on the side of the road. You had just sort of passed the stretch with those businesses that I had just mentioned, and I would say you're probably about 100 feet away, not too far.
All right, y'all. I need help now. I need Aubrey, Ned. I need your help.
What? What do you mean?
I need you all to help me clear Mr. Tarkeesian's store. I just got a weird call that they're about to get...
Let's go!
Crushed. All right, good, good, good. Yeah. All right, come on.
Okay.
Jake says, do you need me on this too, or what do you need?
Hell yeah, Jake. Just try to stay out of the way, man.
So I'm going to have Aubrey do like a blast of heat to try to clear the snow, right? How is there snow? Is it like a hazard to run there?
I mean, no, I wouldn't. It may, you know, get in the way a little bit, but I don't know that it's like bad enough that you need to. I want to paint the scene for you. You're in the middle of the street and there's maybe not anybody immediately around, but if you're going to fucking, you know, go heat okay, vision great. just to clear some snow in front of you, you can do that if you want, but it would be risky.
Instead, she's going to say, go, go magic powers and start running.
Okay.
And so that's do one thing that is beyond human limitations. And I'm just
What are you doing?
I'm running like the wind, Griffin, using my wind powers to buffer, to push me forward.
I'm going to push back on that because I think that this we need to maybe narrowly define something beyond human limitations, because if we say like you can get super speed whenever you want, that seems like a pretty drastic sort of.
Can I push? Push Duck forward?
Sure. Yeah. If you want to launch Duck forward, the blast of wind, I would allow that.
Let's go with that.
So okay. I'm running. I think the visual is I'm running and he just blasts me from behind.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Go ahead and do it.
So I roll the 9 plus 2.
Okay.
So that's 11.
So if that was a used magic, then you achieve your desired effect. Describe this.
So, like, as Duck is running, I'm going to say, like, imagine, you know, like, a strong wind. This is not like a light breeze, as you described. This is like, whoa, and it's going to propel him forward at a faster rate.
Guys, Listen, look, I've awakened some sort of latent ability.
Okay, just go, Duck.
Another one of my powers has returned. I never knew, but I'm incredibly fast.
Think happy thoughts, Duck. Think happy thoughts.
I'm trying, Ned. I'm trying. I don't know what's making this work, but look at me go. Holy shit, man.
Ned's going to read a bad situation.
Okay. I like that. So I'm just trying to, because everything's kind of happening in real time and we do have a sort of very specific timetable we're working with here. Just to paint the scene, Duck is now flying full speed with the wind at his back towards the
door. Am I off my feet?
I don't know. Are you?
I didn't feel like I was. It felt like I was just running really fast.
Yeah. I feel like for you, it's like you're running down a hill really fast. And you know how like that feeling of you're running down a hill and you're like, oh shit. How do I stop? Like you have a lot of momentum, but I don't think you're like, you know, Peter Pan flying.
And I rolled really good. So
yeah,
like,
you're doing cool. Good. So Aubrey is sort of between, Aubrey ran forward to like give you this extra push. And I think you and Jake Kulice are still back towards the car and you want to read a bad situation.
Yeah. And I rolled an 8 plus sharp. So that's a 10. And I think Ned is not the fastest of the bunch. But I think we're just kind of charging into this situation, and all Duck knows is crushed. I'm going to look around and see if I can figure out what exactly is coming our way.
Also, if this is a Die Hard 3 scenario, then they might be watching. You know, the person who made the call.
Oh, interesting.
Might be spying on Duck McClain.
What do I get for a 10?
You can have anything off this shelf. Anything.
Oh, I want the ball in the cup game.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You got to win twice to get the ball in the cup. You can have anything on this shelf between this one and this one. Anything between these two.
Okay, so on a read a bad situation, you hold 3, actually. You can ask, what's my best way in? What's my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable to me? And what's the best way to protect the victims?
Okay, well, I'm going to get to that one for my third one.
I figured.
But are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
Mm. The danger here is you see Aubrey cast this gust of wind that pushes Duck forward towards Leo's general store. But you feel a wind too, and you're standing behind Aubrey. You feel this wind that is getting stronger. It's mounting, and that the snowstorm that you all just sort of drove through, this isn't that. There's just sort of a powerful gale that is starting to appear around you, and it's getting stronger.
All right, what's the biggest threat?
This wind is getting sort of stronger, like freakishly fast, and you hear this sort of sickening, loud, metallic groaning noise. And it's coming from the distance, sort of right in front of you, in the direction of Leo's shop, and you see starting to sway in the wind in a kind of unnatural way the gigantic Pizza Hut sign, the one that is designed to be seen from the nearby highway as drivers pass Kepler. It's starting to sway in the wind a little bit like a reed, like a stalk of wheat. And this sign is enormous, and it doesn't look like there's any way it should be doing this. That looks pretty dangerous to you. The big, big Pizza Hut sign.
And what's the best way to protect the victims?
You notice that the Pizza Hut sign is starting to bend a little bit towards its base. And the direction in which it's bending is in the direction of Leo's general store. So the best way to protect the victims is to make them not be there
in
when
the
this
store.
Happens.
Yeah, folks, the sign. Look, the sign. It's gonna. If that's what's gonna be the crushing thing, that's gonna crush the people.
Let's get back to Duck. Duck, you are. It's been about a minute, and you have maybe a minute and a half. You have made your way to the door of the general store. You sidestep the crates that he has set up outside that he sort of displays the fresh produce in every morning and do a hop over this toppled over pile of bags of fertilizer as you make your way into the front door.
Ah, shit. Everybody out. Clear the place. We're about to get squished by a Pizza Hut sign. Nobody wants to go out like that. Come on.
you barge in the door just already saying this, and you have definitely been in Leo's, like, a ton. I think it is sort of the place that most folks go to get their groceries and sundries. And you would kind of have to be familiar with it to like know where to find anything here. It's like a decent sized store, but its aisles are like cramped and towering, and they are stocked with just like everything you could ever need. What Leo has kind of invested in his inventory, though, he's kind of scrimped on maintenance. There's like it's got this rustic sort of alpine charm that a lot of the buildings in Kepler have, but there's like some bending beams sort of supporting the ceiling. There's some rusting metal supports for the air ducts kind of above. And knowing what you know, you just see disaster fucking all over this room. And as you run in, sort of shouting for folks to get out, you see two people. You see Leo behind the counter, behind the register, and he is sort of talking idly with Janice, the town mail carrier. She's got her mail bag, and it's empty. She has finished up her day's route. The call on the line said there were two customers in here. You do not see a second customer. And Leo, as you barge in and start shouting, says, "Hey, okay, hold up, calm down there a second, Doc.
There's no time, man. Come on, get out of here. Trust me."
Duck, I don't. You got to tell me what's going on. You're freaking me out a little bit.
I pull out my badge.
your
forest ranger badge.
Okay.
I'm an officer of the law in a sense, and I need you to get out of here now, everybody. This place is about to get crushed. We can talk about it outside. Let's go.
Janice says, okay, Doc, you seem mighty spooked. I'll follow along."
And Thank you, Janice.
She goes out the door. Leo comes out from behind the counter and says, "Like, okay, now you're scaring off my customers now, right, Doc. I don't know what you're playing at."
Listen, man, do you want to remain three dimensional?
That would be ideal. Yeah,
get the hell out of your store. It's about to be destroyed. Okay, I can't explain how I know, but I know.
Let's go to Aubrey.
So is this like a single pillar base of the sign?
No, it's on one huge pole, and now it looks like it could go at any second.
Rather than try to stop it, I'm going to see if I can like melt one specific, like so that it timbers in the right direction or at least.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, like, rather than try, is there an area that it could go?
The street?
I mean, you could, Dad was right, like, the street direction is definitely, it would be safer. Yeah, I mean, you could probably angle it towards Dave's dehumidifier depot, which is kind of on the other side
Christ,
of the Pizza Hut. You can't guarantee that Dave's not in there, and you can't guarantee that, you know, dehumidifier shoppers, people in desperate need for less sort of moisture in the air aren't in there, and do they deserve to die more than the people in Leo's general store? I don't know. These are the kinds of hard moral decisions I want to put in front of you.
What I'm going to do is just put a little English on it so that it hits like the back of the store instead of the middle, right? So there's significantly less damage. So maybe it like clips the back instead of just like splitting Leo's in the middle.
Okay. I think this would be like an attack roll, right? I don't think this fits anything that is in use magic.
I agree.
So this would be a kick some ass.
Are you attacking the pole itself?
Yes, I am, Father, and I did not do a good job.
Yeah, you did a bad job.
I rolled a 3.
Plus two is five.
How about if I help out?
If you help out, you can get it to a 6, which is still a hard fail.
Okay.
Go ahead and mark experience there, Aubrey.
Yep.
What does it look like as you're trying to like
a ball,
weld
more
this
like
thing?
A ball of fire. Like I'm just trying to, you know, aim. Pew, you know.
I think you're hyped up in this moment. I think you are. I think your nerves are getting the best of you, and because as we've kind of touched on, like that is where the power of the strength of your magic comes from. I think you are surprised when you cut clean through the pole.
Whoops.
And with that, the wind finally catches the Pizza Hut sign like a sail, and it falls over into the store. And Duck, you hear a horrible, horrible noise, Duck, and it's coming from directly in front of you. Suddenly, the lights are just gone, and you can sense. I think with wherever your powers are coming from, Duck, they tell you like, uh-oh, and you know that you need to get the fuck out of the way. What do you do?
I'm gonna tackle Leo, and knock him to the ground so I'm on top of him.
Okay. Roll to act under pressure.
7 plus.
That is cool.
Cool. That's a 9.
Okay. On a 7 or 9, I give you a worse outcome, hard choice, or price to pay.
Could I help him out?
You're pretty far away, right?
I was just going to yell out.
You could make a very good argument that Ned is like
timber.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Go ahead and roll to help out. This is you sort of shouting to warn Duck and giving him a heads up.
And that's a 7 plus
cool.
Plus cool, so that's 8.
Okay. Your help grants them +1 to their roll, but you also expose yourself to trouble or danger. Okay. I'll have to think of a way that I can do that.
Look out for the big ass sign!
And I think that's what inspires you to leap onto Leo, and you do so. So that is now a 10. On a 10, you do what you set out to do. Here's what happens. You hear Ned's voice. You hear the groaning of metal outside, and you leap forward and just tackle Leo. And then the Pizza Hut sign crashes into the room. I think for a second the lights go out as the sign sort of severs whatever electrical hookups they had here in the store, and there's no light in the room. And then there is light in the room. There's like a soft red and a soft white and a soft yellow light. I think you see like Piz from the sign, Piz Who from the sign, and a little bit of that red hat, and the huge thick wood beams that are in the ceiling of this room. A few of them have just given out completely, right where it's sort of smashed in. It has given out completely, but a few of them kept. A few of them stayed strong and caught the sign. But you hear things just falling apart in this room, sort of in a horrible cascade. A few of the shelves have fallen over. One has fallen over like at an angle and landed right above you, showering you with like the goods that were on it. You have some cans of soup and some canned vegetables that sort of landed and pelted you as you landed on top of Leo. But it caught itself on another set of shelves and sort of saved you from some of the stuff that was falling from the ceiling. And now here is where you are at. And you get the impression that the rest of the building is not going to hold up for very long.
Okay. I got to drag him out.
Let's jump to, before we get to that, Aubrey, you have just Pizza Hutted this store and seemingly probably killed Duck and everybody inside. Just curious what you're doing right now.
So I would say, as you said, like from her point of view, right, like she has just caused the building to collapse and kill Duck.
Right.
The wind is knocked out of her for a second, and not like in a magical way, but like something unlocks, something she hasn't thought about for a very long time, something that she has pushed away from the front of her mind. And like, I would say like she starts crying in that way that if someone pointed it out, she probably wouldn't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, and collapses.
Unconscious?
Yeah.
Okay. Usually I'm the one that knocks you guys unconscious, but you're just making it easy.
I'm going to say not like unconscious, but like.
Yeah. No, she's in shock.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I guess we'll unpack that in a bit. And I think let's get back to Duck. I think we have to sort of keep the tension going here. You are under a shelf covered in cans on top of Leo. You got Janice out. There's maybe somebody else in here. The building's about to collapse. What do you do?
So basically, like, the building is... Nobody's like...
The sign is not done falling. It got caught by a couple beams in the ceiling. It had this. It had these like thick beams, and it didn't quite get through all of them. But whatever is holding the sign up is giving way quickly, and it's only a matter of time.
And it's still partially out of my. It's still partially out of the building, like the top of the building.
Yes.
Ned, in the trunk.
What?
Get the Flymaster.
The rocket thing?
Unless I missed my guess, the tags on that bad boy are fragile. fragile, volatile, and quick. So I feel like maybe you got one shot to rocketeer that motherfucking sign off my dome, man.
Oh, shit. Are you sure you don't want me to, like, bring it to you?
No, I'm not fucking sure, but this is the best shot I got. Come on.
All right. Okay, so he throws it on, he buckles it up in the front.
Now, Ned is good with vehicles.
Is there a helmet? Oh, that's right, yeah, vehicles. All right, how do I turn it on?
Shit. That's actually a real good question.
The dial on the front?
Is there a dial? Yeah, try that.
Okay, and a radio comes on.
Nah. But turn that off, that's annoying. No. Oh, reach to the sides. There's little handles there. See the tubes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there those are nice.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
And they're contoured. They fit my hands.
Come on.
And there's a red button on the... Ah!
Describe to me exactly... Okay. All right. Ned's now... Okay. Great.
Ned's dead.
Ned has died. So, Dad, start working on another character, and Duck will see if you need to start working on another. No, okay. What's the plan here? I need to know how well. I need to know what you're doing before we can decide how well it goes.
All right. Well, I mean, the only thing that I can see, there's no way that we could get inside the building. So the only thing I can do is he said jetpack into the motherfucking sign. So I'm going to jetpack into the motherfucking sign.
All right, you're just trying to collide with it really hard? Or are you trying to, like...
Well, I think that if I move it, if I hit it hard enough, you know, maybe it'll flatten out and not come through the hole.
Yeah, or he catches it and pulls it away.
Yeah, I mean, if you just shoot into it with your human body, you're going to get extremely hurt. You know that, right? If you put on... I got to talk to you about it for a second, Daddy. That if you launch yourself with a jetpack into a sign and you hit it going really fast, that your body dies.
I have my parka on.
Uh-huh.
That'll All cushion right. it some.
Let's just think with our human. Let's think about what our human bodies can do and what it can survive.
To bring everybody inside the bit, I was planning on doing this before Aubrey tried to kill me with a Pizza Hut sign. And I was thinking about how it would work pretty good because I'm so tough. Yeah. And I kind of forgot about when I suggested that Ned use his flesh to...
No, wait a minute. Okay. If Ned zooms towards it, we're talking about a large, roughly rectangular-shaped sign, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the shape of the Pizza Hut.
All right, but if we use leverage, if he zooms at it, hits the top part of it, and knocks it back, flattens it out, it's not going to come through the roof because there's more area over the roof.
I'm loving this. Yes.
I'm loving absolutely. This. This is good. This is good science. All right. Go, I guess, act under pressure.
Okay.
Literal air pressure in this case, eh?
Act under pressure. What do I add to that?
Cool.
7 + 1, that's 8.
Well.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give you a worse outcome, hard choice, or a price to pay.
Price to pay.
You don't get to pick. That's not how life works ever.
I thought you were being Monty Hall for a minute.
But you're not. Like, it doesn't work in life if you get hit by a car. God's not like, so what do you want? What way do you want to go with this, Clint?
Yeah, I'm going to hurt you really bad.
Okay. I can live with that. Listen, just for the moment of zooming along on a rocket pack is worth any price.
Okay.
It's a fun choice of words to say, I can live with that.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. But you, boy, what's this look like? You tell me now. This is your last act on this earth. I want you to tell me how it looks.
The rocket pack fires up when he hits the red button. And while it would be really cool to envision him as, you know, sleek and aerodynamic, I think he's waving his arms and legs like crazy and just flailing around for the first couple of seconds, and then maybe stretches his arms out to act like wings, and then stretches his legs out and tries to angle towards the upper part of the sign.
Okay, you achieve that. And it is clumsy. It does not look very smooth. It does not look very cool. I think that Janice, the mail carrier, sees you from her spot. She has just taken off running, especially as the sign fell in through the building. And she just sees this sort of column of smoke do a curlicue in the air. And I think by the time when you actually make contact with the sign, I think you've flipped around so that the jetpack itself catches the brunt of the damage. Because if you get the sense if your skull had been the recipient of it, you would die. You would have been dead very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And instead
you die slowly.
Yeah, it sounds like slow death kind of thing.
Instead, Duck, from you're looking up from your position and you see just sparks shoot through the air, and Ned, you are instantly unconscious. You are instantly unconscious from this huge amount of blunt force trauma you experience. Your body sails 20 feet past the sign and rolls to a stop, sort of smoking in the snow. And the Flymaster, I think it keeps on going. I think it comes unlatched from you and it skitters to a stop like 50 feet past you. It sort of dances across the snow, sort of flying past your unconscious form, and you take 4 harm.
I'm sure we'll find that again later.
Ned, I need you to mark unstable on your harm tracker.
Ooh.
If you do not get medical attention now, you are going to die.
All right. Unstable. And I mark 4 harm?
Yes. With that, though, the sign teeters on the edge of the building and sort of slides off. You blast into this motherfucker so hard that you completely push it just off the building, and it slides harmlessly off the back. And with that, Duck, Leo's kind of, you know, he was screaming for a second as his store was destroyed, and he's calmed down, and he says, "Okay, next time I will listen up. We got to get out of here. We got to get Denny from the bathroom. He was in the bathroom. We got to get him.
Calm down. All right, listen. I got a +2 cool. So I'm going to get you through this. All right? You get out. I'll get Denny off the can, and then we'll call the sheriff down here and start the insurance stuff. But get out now. I'll go get Denny. Don't worry."
You can already hear sirens in the distance. I think that this is, you know, happening on the main drag, and folks definitely saw a Pizza Hut sign teeter and fall into a business. I think that that you definitely hear sirens in the way. I also don't think, like, I think the danger has passed. The sign is now off the building. It's not going to fall in and collapse. I think Denny and Leo and you are able to get out of the store without any danger. And you see Aubrey on the ground by the sign where it fell. And I don't know if you see Ned.
Aubrey? Hey, Aubrey. I'd rush over to her first, I think. She's right there.
Sure.
Aubrey, did you knock over the sign? Aubrey.
I killed Duck.
No, what?
I killed Duck.
Oh, no. This is a ghost thing, isn't it? Hey, Leo, can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. You look a little shaken up, and you got some soup.
All right,
on
never
you,
mind. But that's fine. Hey, Aubrey, I'm not dead. Look.
Not again. No, no.
No, Aubrey. Look. I'm not dead. God, hold on. Duck probably travels with a first aid kit of some sort, right? Like, does that track
like
for
cool
you?
Like a cool fanny pack?
As a ranger, it seems like he would have, like, some bear
necessities.
Yeah,
in his pack, I think he definitely had. Yeah, I mean, this is not your primary job, but, like, I think if you're on the trail doing your sort of forest tending and you come across somebody who's injured themselves, you definitely want to be prepared. So yeah, I think in your sort of just your all-day carry, you've got some supplies for
all first right, aid. I'll grab that up and get out the space blanket that I keep in there.
Okay.
And pull it out, because I think I probably recognize Shock.
All right. Yeah, you get that all wrapped around Aubrey. And I think at this point, an ambulance from St. Francis has pulled up, as have a couple of squad cars from the sheriff's station. You see Sheriff Zeke and Deputy Dewey, step out of those. Okay. And immediately some EMTs rush out of the ambulance and towards the building looking for anybody who has gotten injured. And they do it quickly, poke their head inside, and they kind of get waved off by the sheriff, who doesn't want them to, you know, doesn't want the building to collapse on them. And one of the EMTs points off in the distance, and Duck, you see two EMTs rush over with their supplies and start tending to Ned, who you now see, face down in the snow.
All right. I would rush over there next.
All right. He looks very bad. He has, I think whatever coat he was wearing now just has a big burn mark on the back of it. And he is, you don't see any, like, you know, it's not gruesome. It's not like there's bones jutting out of Ned. But he looks bad. And the EMTs are working on him. And one of them says, do you know what happened to him?
Oh boy. Do you want the truth or a more convincing lie? Right. So the Pizza Hut sign started to fall because of the weather, and he ran up there on a fire escape and tried to push it with a bat. Damn it. Nah, he just pushed it and it fell. But then he fell because he got shocked. I bet. I didn't see. I was at, ah, shit. All right. Hey, guys, rewind a second. Ah, fuck. I was inside. I didn't see anything. I don't know this man. I do know this man. His name, fuck. All right. So this man, his name is Ned, and he's a friend of mine, and I don't know what the hell happened to him, but you know this guy, he's always getting into something. I don't know. I was in the building. I almost got killed by a Pizza Hut sign. I might be in shock.
This is where we find out that Duck got his nickname because one time he tried to explain something to someone and it just kept auto-correcting fuck over and over again.
Hey everybody, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master, your best friend, and your Dirty Little Secret. I think I've done that one. Thanks for listening to episode 14 of the Adventure Zone Amnesty. Hope that you are enjoying it, getting a little bit hot and heavy in here. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the dice roll that way. I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey everyone, welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about tempo.
Special guest, J.K. Simmons.
That's not
my tempo.
Well, no,
it's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo. Okay, now JK, you
say,
can
now
leave.
Make him say, now make, oh, him say, wait, Griffin's, make him say, Griffin's the best.
And Griffin's also the best. Him, wait, give me pictures of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you.
He's
doing
on the
voice.
Headphones.
Okay.
He's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay.
He's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
can
mean?
Can you just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal, just do a normal ad?
Okay, so yeah, I'm a busy guy, and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my Tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about 5-spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, he is.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah,
I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, are you J.K. Simmons? It's like a CAPTCHA. And like, are you J.K. Simmons? And it tests you. And if it's not, then it'll be like, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/adventure. That's tempomeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. Tempomeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this. Yeah. A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah.
The Elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. No. It's comfortable. Like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No. It's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle, in the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced
me,
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Got a couple gumbo troms here for you. The first one is for Avi and Becca. It's from Isabel, Cassidy, Sophie, Christina, and Tara, who say, maybe Tara, who say, when you're hearing this, you're either about to be married or were recently married or something terrible has happened. We just wanted to ask a hereby unspecified number of McElboys to tell you that we think you're sweet. We love you immensely. We love your love, and we absolutely cannot wait to see you. Congrats, newlyweds. Looks like they got married at the end of June. I'd say they're still in that sweet newlywed phase. Everything is so fresh and exciting, and there's so much love to explore, so many little corners, so many little hidey holes in the love. There's a new hidey hole. We found it. What's in this one? It's new memories I'm going to make with my love. So congratulations. Here's here's one for Throckmorton, and it's from Topper, who says, congratulations to Throckmorton on completing your environmental degree. You didn't want our son, Dark Jr., going to university before you, and both he and our daughters, Anna Maiden and Cream Puff Zero, could not be more proud of your achievement. Unfortunately, you don't like the Adventure Zone, so you'll probably never hear this. We love you. Then why did you... I'm not... All right. Thank you for your support. And Throckmorton, if you do end up hearing this somehow, congratulations. I imagine environmental degree is a probably very frustrating degree to get in this day and age. I don't know why this message is going out to you if you're never going to hear this, but I don't know, man. It's like that movie Frequency. You just shoot stuff out into space and your dad hears it 30 years ago or something. I want to thank everybody who's been tweeting about the show using the ZoneCast hashtag. If you do that, you might end up as a character on the show.
And we just really appreciate you sort of spreading the word. It is how we have found most of our audience, and it means so much that you all are so enthusiastic about this show that we make that you would share it with all of your friends. I also want to thank Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. They got shows like the Beef and Dairy Network, The Greatest Generation, Friendly Fire, Story Break, all kinds of shows, all at MaximumFun.org. We have other stuff that you can hear at McElroyShows.com. What else? We got a graphic novel. Did you read it? I hope so. A lot of you read it, and it made it to the New York Times list, and that was fucking rad. But you can find it at theadventurezonecomic.com. If you haven't read it, it's our first arc of our first story, Balance. I hear there be Gerblins, and it's full of like cool cartoons. I don't know what else. We got live shows, but they all sold out because y'all are fucking awesome. So I think I'm just gonna let you get back to the rest of the episode. Yeah, thank you all so much for listening. The next one is gonna be up on September 6th, so we'll talk to you then. Bye. It's been a few hours since the accident. It was a few very stressful hours, maybe especially for you, Duck, because you were sort of the only one who was sort of fully cognizant during all of this. You rode in the ambulance with Aubrey and Ned to the hospital. Leo came too. He you know, just felt bad about abandoning you all after you went to such great lengths to help try and save his store and the people inside of it. And it's been a few hours. You are now sort of in a recovery room with Aubrey. And I think, Aubrey, at this point, you have recovered from the state that you were in right in the immediate aftermath of the sign falling over. Mm-hmm. And Ned is there also. He is in bed and he's, you know, hooked up to machines and an IV and... I think you're in and out, Ned. I think you are doing better. They have definitely stabilized you. And go ahead and remove one harm. Get yourself just a 3 harm.
Okay.
That is for Ned, not for Duck.
Oh, I'm just listening.
Duck was left.
Active listener.
You all are in the room all together. Leo is waiting out in the hallway. And Mama showed up a few minutes ago after she heard what happened. And that is the scene as you, Duck, and Aubrey and Mama are sort of debriefing about what just happened. And Mama's kind of like got her hand on Ned's like knee, just like pats it a couple time, making sure he knows, like, hang in there, bud. And she says, all right, so walk me through all this again. You all saw some sort of hooded, hooved figure out in the snow, whipped up a snowstorm. Y'all couldn't see, car stalled out, and then you got a heads up that the Pizza Hut sign was about to fall on Leo's general store.
Yeah, that's correct.
And they knew it was you who's going to answer the phone.
Right.
What did they sound like? Did you get any idea who it might have been? Was it somebody you knew? Was it a voice you recognize?
It was a few weeks ago, so I'm having trouble remembering if I recognize the voice. Let me think about it. Hold on. And I pray.
Why?
To Griffin. I read to Griffin to remind me if I recognize the voice or not.
You didn't. You definitely
nah,
didn't.
Nah, Mama. I didn't recognize the voice at all.
Well, I don't... Shit, man. I don't know. I guess we can wait and see if they reach out again. Did it seem like they were friend or foe? I mean, obviously they gave you a heads up, but who's to say they weren't the ones?
Mama, there was magic.
There was magic?
Yeah, the wind was not normal.
Yeah, something strange was going on.
It felt like a lot of stuff, like, it felt like we were jinxed.
I got a thought. It was a call into a payphone, right?
So maybe we could like track it, like find out who's called that payphone or something.
Well, I mean, if nobody else has called it or used that payphone since, we could star 69 it and see.
Hell yeah. That's one. That's hysterical. Secondly, that's a great idea.
I mean, because one of two things, either it's the person who knew the sign was going to fall because they made it happen, or it's a person who knew something was going to happen who might be able to help us stop more stuff in the future.
Mama says, all right, well we got to chase any clue we can get. We got to get to that payphone before somebody else, you know, can use it or receive a call. And Jake stands up from the corner of the room and he says, yeah, this is something Jake can do. And he pulls out his board and just goes running out of the room.
Now, Jake, wait. Can you remember the number?
Yeah, it's the star-shaped button and then the funny sex joke.
You got it, Jake. I'm real proud of you. Go get him, partner.
He flicks you, gives you a big thumbs up and a finger gun, and he runs out of the room.
Not 420, Jake. God damn it, he's going to hit.
You're going to want to do 420.
You're
going
to want to do 420, Jake.
So I would say at this point, like, Aubrey looks over and, like, Ned's eyes are closed, and she says, like, hey, Doc, could you go get me a coffee from the vending machine at the end of the room? I don't care if it's gross vending machine coffee.
Yeah.
I love it. Down the hall, I think.
You want any cream?
No.
Any sugars?
Nope. Just black, please.
What if it has like a mocha? You want a mocha kind of thing?
Just, Duck, just black coffee.
You want
please.
A small or a medium or a large? Do you have any size?
There's tons of options.
Yeah, grande? Get a grande.
Ned, you're a slit. Ned, okay, hold on. Oh, thank God. Oh, Ned's okay, y'all. He's talking normal and he's all fine. He sounds like Clint McElroy, beloved DJ.
He's back up.
He's back up.
The biggest they got, Duck. Just the biggest, cheapest, blackest coffee they got.
Make that too, Duck, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, Mama, do you want cream or?
Nah, I'm good. It's just literally the same exact order. Why don't you get? I think Aubrey's trying to have
same
a delicate conversation
size
with me.
Or?
It's going to be a delicate conversation, Duck. Why don't you get?
I just want to make sure you're taken care of. They got those little 6 ounce shafts.
Mama walks and opens the door up.
I get it. All right then. Yeah, sorry about that. Damn it.
Duck is out of the room, and now it is just an unconscious Ned and Mama and you.
Should I take my headphones off?
No, because we got stuff.
You can know this shit.
I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Because I want you, the player, to know so we can get back to it and work
yeah.
the story.
Right. Got it. We're trying to tell a story together.
Got it.
But would Ned know? Because he's kind of semi-conscious.
Well, maybe he will, and you'll see if that comes up. Maybe that's why you're in the fucking room, Clinton.
We're playing this together. It's all happening in real time.
Would you
it's
fucking like we, just like, write
it's like
a goddamn story?
It's like everybody just fucking forgot.
I'm really into character. Write a fucking story with me. We are New York Times best-selling authors.
Okay. All right. Mama is here alone with you, Aubrey. She says, all right, Aubrey, what's going on? You seem really shaken up. Obviously, it was a tough night, but did something happen?
Mama, do you remember when we met at the magic show and you saw me do magic and I told you it was the first time?
Yeah, you're talking about actual magic, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was the first time.
What do you mean? Did you remember something? What other time has there been, Aubrey?
When I was 18, I was leaving home. Someone broke into our house. These two men. I don't know. I was running to see what the sound was. I tripped and I hit my head on the banister of the stairs. And when I woke up, the house was on fire. And I think that was my fault.
Shit, Aubrey. I mean, do you know that for sure, Aubrey? Or are you just?
I mean,
are you just? Is this just the guilt? Maybe of
the fire started on the second floor where I was, and they were breaking in downstairs. And I've never really thought about that before. Now it's like I can almost remember it.
I mean, that might be relevant. If that's true, Aubrey, then that means that your magical abilities don't have anything to do with you being in Kepler or close to the gate or close to Sylvain. A lot of sort of our theories about that are shot. But I'm sorry about your house burning down. That must have been hard.
My mom died in the fire. Dad got out, but my mom was in collapsed.
I don't think she knows how to respond to that. She just stands there kind of mouth open for a bit and wraps you back up in that blanket. And I think she doesn't know what to do because she brought you here and then she disappeared for a couple months and then she showed back up. And I don't know what your relationship has been like since then, but I think she takes a beat and then she leans down and she just wraps the blanket around you and gives you a little kiss on the top of the head. And she says, I'm going to go see what's taking Duck so long with that coffee. Okay, before we do anything else, I have a super, super, super important question for Ned. And that question's going to determine some stuff based on what the answer is. But how conscious, how aware, how much of that did Ned actually hear?
I think he heard. I think he heard all of it. I think he's not exactly in a coma, but I think he's out of it enough that he's not feigning unconsciousness. But I think he heard the whole. I think he heard the whole story.
Then I think Ned has just had a pretty horrible,
extremely horrible
realization.
Yeah.
Then I think in this sort of like in and out of consciousness state that you're in, you hear all of this and you are taken back to that night. And I think you just see little bits and pieces of it in this state. I think you probably bonked your noggin something fierce when you did your jetpack stunt. And so it's not coming to you in one sort of linear thread, but you remember pulling up to the house and you remember doing a quick lap around it to find the best entrance to check for security. You remember going inside. You remember carefully taking things. You remember getting caught, and you remember the car crash with your partner during your speedy escape. As Aubrey speaks from what seems like miles away, and you realize it was her house that you robbed that night. Hey, Duck, you're out in the hallway, right? You were getting coffee? Yeah. I think you see Leo out there. Leo looks pretty shaken up as you come back with the two cups of Joe. He's sitting there and he's kind of got his head in his hands.
Hey, Leo, how's it going? You all right?
He looks up, he kind of wipes his nose. He says, "No, Doc, I'm not doing good. Very good at all. Thanks for asking. I'm sorry. I shouldn't yell. I'm sorry. That was mean of me. That was my fucking store, Duck, and it's gone now. I mean, there's parts of it still standing, and maybe there's a few, you know, boxes of cereal that didn't get smushed, but that was my life, Duck. When I came to Kepler, I moved down here from New York, and I didn't have anything, and I had just gotten out of, like, sort of a long-term gig, and then I didn't have nothing, and that was hard for me, and I didn't know what my purpose was, and I found that store, and that was my purpose, and it was a good purpose, but, fuck, Doc, man, it just sucks.
Yeah, there's no argument about that.
I guess I'm still around to maybe rebuild, and I guess that's entirely thanks to you, so I knew that people were going to be good neighbors here in Kepler, Doc, but I didn't expect that kind of treatment. So I don't know what to say, man. I don't know how I can repay you.
Well, you know, it's the least I could do. I'm sorry, you know, about the store. What about kickstarting? Is that a thing? Can you kickstart it?
Like a motorcycle? What do you, like?
Nah, you like, I think, I don't actually know. I just see sometimes when there's a fire or whatever, or like some people kickstart it. I don't know how you get it on there, or if you just ask him, or what.
He says, I guess I'll go to the library and see what I can find out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna get a lawyer, and I don't know nothing about law stuff, but it seems like I might be able to get a little bit of money out of the Pizza Hut, right?
Yeah, I mean, Pizza Hut's got... Hey, do you not have insurance?
I do, yeah, I do, but it's going to take a little bit for that to come through. In the meantime, maybe I could get a few free personal pan Zas out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I can do for you. I'll split you some of the Zas.
Yeah, you're being... I'll be honest, Leo, you're being kind of despondent for a guy who maybe just has to wait a little while to get a check to fix up his store, you know? You're seeming out here in the hallway a little bit like doom and gloom, when really what you got is a kind of an unplanned vacation, you know? We'll get up and running again, just let the gears of State Farm start turning.
I mean, you got a point there, Duck. It's just... It's been my experience that when you find your calling in this life, it doesn't make any sense to put off doing it. Do you know what I mean? I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna head back to the shop. I better take stock of what's still standing. But you take care of yourself, Duck. I don't know what Kepler'd do without you.
All right, fair enough.
So now you have a bond with Leo Tarkisian.
A life bond. Can't wait to summon him.
You get his summon crystal. You throw it to the ground and shatters.
I take it to the fairy godmother, and she...
Mm-hmm. And I think as he walks by, he brushes past Jake, comes running back in. He's got a lot of snow up on his pants. He's got his board that he's got slung over his back. And he runs up to you, Duck, and he says, oh, God.
You okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I ran really fast, and I snowboarded, I cross-country snowboarded some of the way, but I got to the payphone.
Well, what's the number?
I had the phone book, so I ran the number in there,
what?
Yeah, I went through all the numbers one by one, and I found the phone number.
Wait, what? No wonder he's tired, that would have taken days.
Is that weird? I just went through it really fast.
Oh, God, he's a beholder.
So I just, oh my God, can I have, he takes one of the cups of coffee and just like slams it.
Yeah,
says,
go for it, man. Shit.
That hurt my mouth really bad. But the number that called you, it was from the Eastwood Campground and RV Park. That was the, I'm gonna fucking die, man.
Where?
Eastwood Campground and our RV Park. That's what the phone number said.
Is that where we first met Pigeon?
No. Doc, I think you would know this as more of sort of a long-term RV park. Not quite like a trailer park, but for folks who maybe want to like walk part of the trail, like the Appalachian Trail, and leave their Winnebago or what have you. Okay. In a secure spot. This is sort of more of a long-term rental place.
All right.
And as he tells you the source of the telephone call, you hear the phone ring inside of Ned's room.
Aubrey answers it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello?
Aubrey, you hear that voice that you heard earlier this evening on the payphone. And this voice says, well done. I have to say, as someone who's tried to defy the whims of fate myself a fair number of times, I didn't think you'd actually pull it off.
Listen, hi. Thank you for your help. Who are you?
That is a complicated question, Aubrey, one that will make a lot more sense when we meet tomorrow afternoon at my home, once Ned is back up and on his feet again. My name is Indrid Cold. That was the name I was born with in Sylvain. It's a nice name, I've always thought. Perhaps a bit on the nose, a bit, you know, supernatural sounding, but there's nothing I can do about that, can I? But I think you're asking a different question. I'm known as something different to the folks of this area. It's a nickname I picked up when I was younger and a bit more careless about my public persona. I don't prefer this title myself, but, well, I'm the Mothman. See you tomorrow.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Welcome.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank
These you. Are real podcast listeners, not actors.
What do you look for in a podcast?
Reliability is big for me.
Power.
I'd say comfort.
What do you think of this?
Oh.
That's Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
They came out of the floor?
And down from the ceiling?
That can't be safe.
I'm upset.
Can we go now?
Soon. Jordan, Jesse, Go. A real podcast.
Beloved Maximum Fun Star Trek podcast, The Greatest Generation, is going out on tour.
We are bringing Greatest Gen Con to a bunch of cities in the U.S. and Canada. It's our big tribute to slash send-up of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And we have a big leg coming up.
Yes, we are raising our legs on a number of cities in the coming weeks.
We're going to Washington, D.C. on August 23rd, the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York on August 24th, Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts on August 25th, Pittsburgh on the 28th, Boston, Massachusetts at the Wilbur Theater on the 29th, Atlanta, Georgia at the Earl on the 30th, Ferndale, Michigan at the Magic Bag on the 31st.
Those are some great big rooms and some great big cities, Ben.
And it's a really fun show. It's accessible. Even if you haven't listened to the podcast yet.
We can't wait to see you when we're out on tour. Check greatestgencon.com for dates and ticketing information.
And Khan is spelled K-H-A-N because Wrath of Khan, greatestgen, K-H-A-N.com.